because I can't get shut up.
Okay, everybody ready? 7 o'clock by the wall clock there. Get this party started.
Do I need to press on the thing? Is the thing running?
Okay, a reminder to the public that the meetings are being recorded. Is there any public comment on matters not included on the agenda? Seeing and hearing none. Is there anything a trustee would like pulled from the consent agenda? If not, I'll take a motion to approve it.
So moved. Second.
JJ?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Justin?
Yes.
Pete?
Yes. Goes to Mr. Ken for his signature. Capital replacement. Do you want to wait for Walt?
Ken.
So you want to do...
Please.
Boy, do it's the, really short. You want to do the fire chief's report?
We can do the chief's report. Okay. Let me get to that. Nothing too exciting, really. Laid out the calls for the last 3 years again. So
that's really helpful, by the way.
Yeah. Our roster is up to 53, which is, I think, the highest maybe ever been or been in a while. And that's a factor of our recruit class coming on. Residents are full. We had one change in the last month. Nathan Leahy, who was out fighting wildland fires all summer, moved into Cottonwood. And Jake Schweitzer, who was at Cottonwood, moved down to a rental position at the Ray House, which moved the number of firefighters at the Ray House to 4. So that puts 8 at Sourdough, 4 at Cottonwood, and 4 at Ray Station. So our beds are full. Still going with the day staffing, it actually has worked really well. Haven't had much issue. The non-residents really are enjoying it, being in the station and being able to beat residents on the calls. Not too much else. We helped Gateway with the big structure fire on 191. That was October 6th. Academy, like I mentioned, is underway. Mac is up and running on that. We brought on 8. Again, a lot of interest. Started out with 30 people interested, which is insane. I mean, that's well over what we've ever had. Did our informational meeting, dropped it down to 17 after we laid out expectations, and then interviewed and took 8 off of that. So should be a good class. Funny thing about number 11 is we are set up in this direction because the acoustic company wanted to come listen to the board meeting to get an idea of our main complaint. But
it's the acoustics are better with us at this end. I don't know.
Do you think so?
I think so.
Okay.
We're talking to walls instead of against glass.
Right. But we'll keep working on that.
What would we do without you and Kevin?
I don't know if I mentioned this last month or not, but we finally received notification our new ambulance is in production and should be done next month. So we are finally moving forward from where we started in January after 2 delays. Because of a Ford Transit, that vehicle is finally going to get delivered, hopefully, here coming up. The new command trucks, if you guys noticed, I'm sitting out in the parking lot, but they're coming along. SCS Wraps has done their work, got them decaled. We'll have them go into industrial comm next month for lights and radios, and they'll be ready to rock and roll after that.
The AG can't make that happen any faster. He's tapping his foot over there.
Harper's a very busy individual, apparently. And it's a challenge to get any parts these days. So. I am working on collecting data, and when I mean data, for the needs of the new Ray Fire Station, the new discussion points. I've sent out a survey to every person that's lived at this fire station and requested just information back, what they like, what they dislike, what could make it better. So kind of compiling that information, and then we'll sit down as a staff and figure out what our needs are operationally, administratively, and then bring some needs to you guys. Hopefully that we can have that next month. That's kind of my thought.
Great. Board questions for the chief?
Concurrent with the ambulance moving along, just give us a little update on, have you started training the guys?
Yeah, so we've been actually training now for several months. Since really Chris came on, we started an in-depth EMS training. Right. And every Wednesday night now we're doing multi-company training. So we kind of split the group, and basically every 3 weeks it's a rotation. So they're doing fire 1 week, EMS the next week. And then the third is kind of a filler if somebody's been missing. And then we reset to a new tactic. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit of everything going on to break up the group into smaller numbers, so they get a little more detailed training. But yeah, that's been happening since really August. So
you're thinking the ambulance comes in, gets stocked, checked out, everything like that, and pretty seamless transition to providing service out of it with trained folks, so there won't be lag, I guess, is my question.
Yeah, we'll have some work to do, you know, at the board level to make the final decision on our billing rate.
Right.
Here, staff, shortly, we're going to sit down and just kind of start whiteboarding the plans.
Great.
What we need at an administrative level, operational level, including training, deciding on the billing rates. And once that's all lined out, we should be pretty close to go time. But yeah, I mean, we have the license. The ambulance is coming with the cot installed for this CARES Act funding we got. So once it's here, we'll need to do radios in it. It's coming blank, so we're going to decal it ourselves, or local shop will. But it'll be ready to haul people after that.
Great. Don't forget Mr. White's spreadsheet.
Yep. Chris and I have been studying and restudying.
Yeah. I mean, we can make that our own. But I think the really important point is there just to be responsive to all the work that you put into it with Pat Wilson and all those other guys.
Yeah.
Why didn't they decal it?
It was cheaper for us to do their markups that they wanted to do it in their shop versus us just taking it to SCS and telling them what we wanted. It was going to save us some money.
Yes.
Anything else for the chief?
Okay, trustee activities, we'll stall the waltz as long as we can. Cheryl, you get this little italics thing in for the governance policy, monitor and discuss the board's own process, yada, yada, yada. I don't know that there's much here to discuss. If trustees, you know, feel like the process is in need of improvement, that's obviously an area we should pay attention to. That can be brought to my attention privately, and I guess I'd prefer to have a private conversation about that first, and then we can bring it forward to the board to discuss things. But if everybody's happy, then we keep sailing the ship forward.
No complaints.
Does that cover it, Cheryl?
Mm-hmm. Check the box.
Ken is the newest board member, particularly valuable. Your insights and whatever. Not asking for them now, but if you got them, let us know.
My only concern with it is that our policies and process works really good when you have good staff. There are places that don't always have good staff.
Yes.
And do we have policy and process in place to manage that effectively? And I'd like to start by punishing Brian.
Not Kevin.
It's going to happen at some point.
Yeah. But there's a...
Yeah.
We know from long history and experience the only thing worse than a bad employee is a board that doesn't do anything about it.
Right. And, you know, we go through policy review every year. We all took a year and a half to update all our policies, which are on the website. So those are an insurance policy, sure, but there's no substitute for a vigilant board.
And to kind of
getting to take action.
hair trigger.
If needed.
Address JJ's concern a little bit. I will say you guys do an even better job of, I mean, when it comes time for chief review, of surveying the fire department on his, that individual's performance. Because some areas do not do that, and it shows. So you're kind of a mark above on that.
That's where we try to be all the time. That's how we roll. All right. We can't stall anymore. Capital replacement plan.
So if you guys take a look at what's listed, not really looking necessarily for any action.
Sure, we're going to set a new record tonight, big time.
But
look at the handout you just gave us.
Yeah, and what's in your board packet.
Tell us what page you're looking at so we can all make sure we're looking at the same thing.
Yeah, so on regular agenda item one, the only thing we added, the only thing you guys asked to change was the page one main front sheet.
So that's it right here?
Yep, that guy right there.
That's why we came up with new titles for the columns.
Yep, so we kind of moved the columns around per what was requested, renamed them a little bit, reset the inflation to one or zeroed it out since we did adjustments to the interval cost sheet. I apologize. I don't know why it keeps coming up as the capital improvement plan because I changed it, but for some reason it doesn't like it. So I'll get that fixed. Walt's not here, but he was just curious and wanted the three sheets that I printed off that were not part of the board packet. He was just curious to see some different percentages on contributions. So that's what those three sheets are. If you look at column two, the contribution column, as a plan, what we have had in the past and today really is a 2% increase every year for what we're going to contribute to the plan. And Walt had requested just some different numbers, so I ran it at a 4%, 5%, and 6%. And it does have pretty significant impact. 4%, if you kind of look, and if you look at kind of where the balance is over, you know, the next 30 years, it still has deficits and some significant deficits. Now, what we were looking at prior to, I mean, it significantly helps. But if you bump it up to just like the 5%, we actually start to go with some money left on hand. It takes a few years to get there. And then 6% actually is greatly contributes and actually gets it out of the red fairly quickly, and then actually puts it into the black you can see by 2052 there's quite a bit of cash on hand at that point, so that could be redistributed or just kept in the plan as a balance to keep us moving forward. Obviously in 30 years it's really difficult at this point to say what this area is going to look like. But Walt was just curious to see some different numbers, so that is what I have provided for you.
So how do we think about this? Because there's an opportunity cost to putting, you know, 5% versus 3% into it,
mm-hmm.
right? And then where is the area that we can control to turn this down so we don't head into the red with the capital? It's all in the far right column. It's the things, right?
Right. Yeah, the amount we're contributing and what's involved in the plan. Now, I safely, cautiously say, capital-wise, I don't necessarily feel like we're going to need any big bounds of increase, at least, you know, going into the next 3 to 5 years. Mm-hmm. As far as the amount of apparatus we have on hand and the equipment on hand, I feel comfortable to say that is where we need to be.
So just looking out at a reasonable time frame, like I'm looking at the 5% Well, I'll look at your 2% one. So we're in the red starting in 2 years and running in the red through 2026. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah, if it's in parentheses, that's a deficit.
So what does that mean from a practical standpoint for us?
It just means we're going to have to, you know, what the plan is saying is if this is what we can only contribute, we'll have to make decisions on what we can prioritize.
So looking at 23, the implication is we got to come up with $156,345 from operating to do the capital replacement.
To fully fund the plan.
To fully fund it.
Yeah.
Okay. That doesn't seem so scary, but the 24 sure seems scary.
Right. There's just some big ticket items. Especially over the next couple of years, we just have engines that are coming up for replacement. When I was talking with Walt, as we were kind of studying the plan a little bit, it's interesting the way our radio program for the county is moving, because it's moved slightly from what it originated as an idea. And when Jason purchased our new radios, just to give you guys an idea, so we replaced all of our handheld radios, so all of our big radios that you could carry around. And then essentially every truck has a mobile mounted radio, so a bigger radio mounted in the truck. They have two, with the exception of our command vehicles have three. With Jason's replacement, we only replaced half of those. Hello.
Hi.
Acoustic specialist?
Yes, I am.
All right, be quiet over there.
You're real quiet.
And to give you guys, an idea where the radio replacement plan for the county was a few years ago, was our dispatch frequency was inadequate and needed to be replaced. And that's where we went along the lines of replacing one of the radios, because one radio is dedicated to dispatch, one is dedicated to tactical operations. Since then, since we ordered those radios, that plan has changed. And the proposal on the table through the county is we're changing dispatch frequencies along with our tactical frequencies. And where it causes a little bit of issue for us is both of the theories behind the frequency change are to switch everything to an 800 megahertz system, which are two truck-mounted radios. The ones we replaced new when Jason bought the radios are dual-band and have that capability. Our second radio in the trucks currently do not have 800 capabilities. They're single band radios. Now, we can, depending on what we can afford and what we can do, in apparatus, we can make do. It's not necessarily ideal. It's more important in our command vehicles that we have the proper radios in there, because that's where a lot of the talking is done. Mm-hmm. But that's one real big question. Walt noticed that we still have 19 mobile radios listed as replacement. And he was like, well, I thought we had replaced those. And I said, well, we had replaced half of our total mobile radio stock. And that's where, and a couple of years ago where the plan was, those single band mobile radios were just fine. Like if we would stay with that frequency, they're on the plan because we have them set for a 10-year lifespan and they're hitting that. But as a VHF single band frequency, mm-hmm. they work just fine.
So, one thing you could do, like in 23, I think you could do, is can you spread those engine purchases out so you're doing one a year for like 5 years instead of doing two or three in a single year? Or is that just paying Peter to rob Paul? Do we end up paying more because it's more expensive in an out year?
Yeah.
From inflation? And
they're going to get more expensive. The one concern I have with trying to extend the life of those trucks, being frontline trucks, is going to be what maintenance is going to cost us mm-hmm. over extending the lives. On that note, and not necessarily an immediate board action, but I guess I wrote the chief's report before this weekend. Chris and I attended the state chief's conference this past weekend. And while we were there, we talked with the salesman of Hughes Fire, where we ordered a S. Pierce truck for, and they are 17 months out from delivery of a product.
So order tomorrow.
Yeah, essentially.
Yeah. Another thing that this didn't show, and I'd like to just have this as an agenda item next time, have the same conversation with Walt. What's our free cash flow over 22's contribution of $303,000? Like, how much operating cash do we have above that? Because I'm thinking like 2% is too little to put into this fund.
Right. And it is. The easiest answer, well, yeah.
I mean, easily, we can have that discussion next time, but if we're generating, let's say we're generating, just make up numbers, $600,000 in sort of cash flow mm-hmm. every year, and we've got $300,000 earmarked. And that's due to mill levy increases and the value of the mill and
right.
the value of the mill levy increases. So then, there's some room to shove that into any of our capital accounts, but particularly this replacement.
Yeah, and we do have the benefit. And one thing that makes me feel more comfortable is our area is rapidly growing.
Sure.
As those new structures come on the tax bill, we should see an increase from that. And operationally, we've been doing very well at maintaining kind of what we're spending year to year. Mm-hmm. My hope is that, over the next few, few years, we should see some bumps in the amount of cash we have coming in, and next to unforeseen issues with fuel costs, different things that would be hard to predict, mm-hmm. I think we can be more on like that 5% rate of contribution.
5%. Yeah.
I think so. Uh-huh. I mean,
I like that even better.
Year to year.
Yeah.
That's something we haven't quite had the opportunity to do. We were going to do with Walt is look over the past 5 years and just see what rate, roughly percentage-wise, we have increasing per year.
Maybe you and Walt can talk about it. Just come back with a recommendation.
Sure.
So, in your description for 2022, are these any things that we've already committed to or spent?
Let's see.
What you're saying is you're not going to get the rolling stock in 2022.
We'll get the ambulance because that should come next month.
But is that going to be paid for on 20?
Out of 21.
21 or
22.
So this is just my thought, really quick. So if we've committed to this ambulance, that's $100,000.
Right.
So what would happen if we didn't do any of these in 22? But then pushed them to 23 with the additional money of $321,000, then I'm just looking at the math that we wouldn't be negative for 5 years.
Yeah, really right now, the only thing we've spent out of 22 is the C-62, and that's a command vehicle. We have replaced that one. Some of the stuff, obviously the ambulance is coming. The saws are ordered, but we have not paid for those yet because they're not here.
Okay.
Some of this stuff too, obviously what we've done in years past is kind of moved things beyond their, you know, what the plant calls in their serviceable life. So, like water tender 6-2 or WT 6-2 is listed, but we currently don't necessarily plan to replace it. We just continue to use it. Same thing like with U6 is utility 6. Again, that's kind of going to be more of a plow vehicle that again, we can get more years out of what it currently is. The 2.5-inch hose, we can get more years out of what that stuff is. So, I mean, that's the other thing we try to do is keep what we're buying realistic to what cash we have, obviously. And that's kind of where, you know, like 2022, it has a bunch of items listed. It's because things just keep, if they're not replaced, they just keep moving in the plan and kind of keep piling on to the next year.
How do you guys approach this in the sheriff's department? Was Mr. Sperner, he's got a capital replacement plan, right?
We have essentially only for vehicles.
Only for vehicles.
And the rest of it is catch it when you can. And looking at this, we've all done these, and there is a ton of room in there for delayed and defrayed. Problem is it catches up to you, but you also are replacing 2.5-inch hose when you don't need to.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so you're giving it away to San Cooley Fire Department.
Yeah.
And there's a ton of wiggle room in there, but it all has to be done very thoughtfully.
Right.
Because it will come back. It will end up 27 items in one year that you desperately need to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pretty rough. But there's room there, and I think especially if you bump that a percent or two with the increase in taxables and all that, I think we should be okay. But I don't know that I'd be really afraid of that running in the black or the red for very long, because I think you can manage that. Mm-hmm. We can have the chief manage that by saying, no, we're not doing 2.5. It's not the hose, it's the rigs that kill us.
Yep.
Right. Yeah.
The rest of that's just shit, we can find that about anywhere.
Yeah.
The rigs, and I had a question for you. When you say the county radio plan, is that the fire council?
Fire
or is
council.
That 911?
Well, it's a little bit of both. It's 911 giving their recommendations, saying what we can do on the new system, and
one board's opinion would be no.
Right.
One board member's opinion.
No, don't.
No, we're not. That's not acceptable.
To get pressured into.
And it doesn't make good operational sense either. It's being pushed by a couple pretty powerful political players, and it actually makes contra operational sense.
I mean, the other thing it doesn't plan for, which I plan to look into, is grant money. And that's nothing to necessarily plan off of, but it can help if we can get any grants awarded to us.
Well, let's have, if you guys think this is helpful, let's have an agenda item that is discussion and decision to increase capital contribution to 5 from 2% of the annual budget, right? That's how we do it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
In the annual budgeting process.
Yeah, the percentage is what it increases every year.
No, but our contribution.
Right.
Yeah, I'm interested in having a conversation about moving it to 5 from 2.
Yeah.
Which is where we currently are, 2, yeah. Because that gives the public more specificity on what we're talking about. And I agree with you, there is lots of wiggle room. And we just have to have these guys say, this is a have to have. The other stuff you can push a little bit. Really helpful, thank you.
Yep.
More board discussion? Capital? Anything?
What's our fiscal year?
June 30th.
July 1st.
July 1st
to June 30th. Okay.
Okay.
Typical.
Bill, was it?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Bill, we got this nasty, nasty acoustic situation in here.
State.
That's much better now that we're faced this way rather than the glass doors, as our esteemed colleague pointed out. But we're interested in some advice on how to make it easier for people to hear when we have a room full of people.
Be happy to give some insight. Just want to say I appreciate what you guys do for our community. My dad and my grandfather were both civil servants, so I want to give back, and we'll try to keep the cost down on this. We're working through the Gallatin courthouse right now, trying to boost up their audio video system. And we always, if we could be of service to you in other aspects with getting information across with screens or doing Zoom meetings or Microsoft Teams or things like that, please keep us in mind. But I was going to say that, you know, sound is much like eating a hot food. You know, some people are love a hot pepper and other people can't handle it. And I would say that and people's ears too have been abused by maybe firearms or not. So my voice is also kind of like mid-rangey, so I have to really project to be heard. But what we want to do basically is to turn sound into heat. It's a minute amount of heat. And I see some acoustic panels here, and I think more of them are needed. We try to integrate some artistry into what we do, and also we try to choose materials that don't off-gas formaldehyde.
That'd be good.
Which is what you would find.
It's such a little amount compared to what we're breathing every day anyway.
Maybe, yeah. I guess you know a lot more about that than I do, but at our library we've been hanging cattle panel. We have a few installations around town, kind of redneck engineering way of getting green acoustics in here. And one idea was to go above this air vent with some cattle panel, and then we weave this recycled cotton, and we can order it in white, so it'll reflect light. And that would be my first suggestion, just to do a band of it above here, live with it for a month, take another reading. I don't know if you saw the graph that we sent over to, but we want to try to get into this green band if we can for this size room, and that should solve our issue. I think that would be almost get us in there. You know, this bigger wall area above here is a good spot. We want to break up, you know, sound so it's just not bouncing back and forth. These acoustic tiles too would be something we could look at. We could choose a product that has more absorption than these and maybe recycle these somewhere else. So those are kind of quick moves that are too expensive. Keep the nice look of the room and fire rated and all that kind of stuff.
So, great. Well, thank you for your attention, and you can work through the chief and he'll give us a recommendation.
Sure.
We appreciate it.
No, likewise, yeah. We'll keep after this. I know this project has been kind of lingering on, but we're going to get a priority.
That's good.
Have a great night.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Any announcements?
Thank you very much.
If you guys want to put down, you will be invited to the department holiday party on December.
You guys need a sound system for your holiday party. Bye.
Well, I think, well, maybe Ken is new to it, but that's like the department holiday party. It's not necessarily a public event, but it's just our time to...
The 10th? Friday?
Friday. Yep.
Okay, Tuesday the 16th, I'm out of town of November.
You said December 10th?
December 10th, yeah.
And it's at the Bales Center? I'll send out a flyer.
What time?
6.
Okay. Next meeting, can we do that the 18th, which is a Thursday. Or you guys can proceed without me.
18th's fine with me, the 23rd's fine with me, the 9th I'm gone.
Yeah, I'll be gone the 23rd. Ken, what's your preference?
I don't have one yet.
JJ?
I'm okay. 18th? I'm good. It's a Thursday.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm good.
Okay.
Do you know if that would be a conflict with the room, by chance, off the top of your head anyway?
We would always have preference anyway.
No, that's true.
I'm curious. So
if you just send that around, that notice, and see if Walk can make it, and if we get in a jam, you guys can just meet Tuesday, and I'll read the minutes.
I have a couple things. The audit is being performed as we sit here, so you may be hearing from the auditors. Morgan Scar with the Maddox is the accountant doing the audit. We received a dividend for 2019 from Montana State Fund in the amount of $5,442 for our safety success, and that's almost a third of the premium that we pay. So,
nice job.
Big, nice check. That's it.
That's a boy.
And Night with Santa is December 8th.
Oh, that's right. Night with Santa.
Anything else?
Thursday night. Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Okay.
Meeting's adjourned. New record, 36 minutes.